ethanol or biodiesel.
I think everyone should have options. You should have options, you know, for shopping green and buying green clothes, and why not have a better, more environmentally friendly fueling option?
It used to be you made your own or joined a fuel co-op or had it delivered.
It's pretty much soybeans.
Peter Yates and his wife drove several miles for the biodiesel.
This is not a long-term solution.
It's about thinking about doing things different.
It's also not cheap, but Sven Thordersen says it's worth it.
Diesel engines are intrinsically more efficient than gasoline engines by about 30-40%.
Mueller says any diesel engine can run on their biodiesel. The E85 is for flex fuel cars. Both cars may re-enter or enter the marketplace soon. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
One of America's iconic sitcom characters getting a special honor.
You know, my jacket is in the Smithsonian, and I have a statue that's going to be erected in Milwaukee. That's it. It's over. I don't need anything else.
Henry Winkler from the Fonz on Happy Days getting a statue. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, rather. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, January 26, 2007. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast. And today's forecast calls for rain and windy conditions. Highs should be around 62 degrees with winds south-southeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, more rain is likely with lows around 47 degrees and winds southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow's forecast calls for more rain and wind, and that pattern looks like it's going to continue all the way throughout Monday, Tuesday. Can expect some partially sunny conditions. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, southeast winds 15 to 25 knots, occasional gale force gusts reaching up to 35 knots over the outer bay, wind waves 3 to 6 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 8 feet at 13 seconds, and rain is likely out there on the bay as well. Outside of the studios, the temperature is 54 degrees, the time here at KSCO, 10:06. Coming up next, the Saturday special, and filling in for MZ, Vernon.
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know on KSCO Radio.
Well, we don't have any lead-in music today. No promos, no nothing. Just me and Mr. Dave Michaels. Well, good morning, folks. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed, and I will be your host from now till noon. So stay tuned, and we'll kick off the Saturday special very shortly here.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
That was perfect.
That song reminds me of you.
Well, it was perfect. When I come in and do the Saturday special, half the time I'll start off and I'll miss the ending, you know, where I'm supposed to slip in the beginning and introduce myself. So I thought my timing was impeccable. How's that for a word? Impeccable.
Sure.
Perfect. Well, folks, good morning. I don't know where MZ is today. He's probably out there listening in. You never know. He could call in. You never know with him. He's out and about and whatever. And I got a call this week from Rosie, and she had given me a book a couple weeks ago. And it was by a man by the name of Mark Bowen. And the name of the book was Censoring Science. And she says, this looked like it was right up your alley. So I looked at the book, and the cover had this very nefarious, wicked-looking gentleman on the front. It's an ominous cover. Very ominous. And then it went off in my head. Oh boy, that's James Hansen. And I read the opening part of the credits on the cover there, the cover jacket. jacket cover, and it said, the political attack on Dr. James Hansen and the truth about global warming. So I took, you know, she says, would you like to do the interview with Mr. Bowen? I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to, but I want you to tell him that I'm not particularly a sympathetic or aligned reader. I don't particularly agree with their conclusions regarding the issue of global warming. Well, lo and behold, last Sunday, 60 Minutes raised from the dead this old piece on global warming. They'd done it about a year ago, and it was the doom and gloom stuff, and I watched it. And I was incredulous as I watched it, as they went through all of this old rehash stuff. And I know that global warming's not a spicy topic, and I don't know to what extent I'm going to talk about deep science today, but I am going to talk about it from the standpoint of propaganda, politicization, some of the reasons that I'm very skeptical about what you see in the news media regarding it, and it has to do with incomplete reporting. So, first of all, if we go to the 60 Minutes piece last night, I cut a very nice piece. I uploaded it to my site. I can't find it. So I'll just take it from the top. They open up, and they start talking about, you know, global warming down in Antarctica. Now, normally most of the stuff you hear about is up in the North Pole. And their first piece is on the Higgins Glacier in Patagonia. Now, I'm going, well, wait a second. Patagonia is not Antarctica. It's not quite as far south. And one of the things you see being presented as evidence and data that the planet's getting harder are these glaciers warming. And so within the context of the show, it's actually more about propaganda than whether the planet's warming up or not. I don't really care. In the big picture, within the context of geologic timescales, I don't think that there's anything particularly significant here. You know, and I've read a lot of articles recently, and one of which is that the only story about global warming is it isn't. Nothing's happened in the last 7 years or 8 years. But what I am fascinated by is the fact that someone like Mr. Gore can go out there and do a movie called Inconvenient Truth and very cleverly stitch together images and sounds to create this doomsday scenario when, in fact, many of the things may be unrelated. So one of the things that fascinated me about the Higgins Glacier in Patagonia is one of my things I've long questioned about this whole issue, and I find fascinating, is I don't think there is any science being done in the area of global warming. I think it's kind of almost a misnomer. Certainly, maybe it's a form of science if you consider political science. If you consider taking measurements and drawing conclusions without a particular testable hypothesis, science. Maybe it is, but other than that, a lot of this stuff is anecdotal data from which people are going around and they're going to and fro out there in this frantic search. So one of the things that's been troubling for me over the years since I saw a special with Robert Kennedy Jr. is they're dragging out all the glaciers. And I was sitting there one night, and you can see these wonderful pictures. They show glaciers calving into the ocean, and they great backgrounds, and they could show you avalanches as far as I'm concerned, and it would look no different. And people say, oh, look at the planet's melting. The planet is getting hot. And it's getting so hot, the glaciers are melting. And I'm sitting in my house one day, I'm going, well, wait a second. One of the examples they used in the old days was Glacier National Monument. And I'd been there when I was a young man, a little kid, actually, 6, 7, or 8. I remember being up on the glaciers in the middle of the summer on a cat, as they gave us a whole spiel about the glaciers and the ice age and everything going on. As I'm sitting there thinking about the glaciers when I'm looking at this years ago, I'm thinking, well, wait, you know, I was wearing a jacket, but I was not bundled up to the eyeballs. It was not biting and chilling cold. You know, it was actually warmer than many of the winter days that I've gone through in my life. I'm going, well, wait a second. You know, as with a scientific background, someone who spent many years doing science, I says, well, wait a second. Okay, I understand This is a thing on global warming. They're showing all these melting glaciers as evidence. But I wonder, wouldn't the ice have been melting here in Glacier National Monument anyway? You know, my scientific training, my background, all the introductory chemistry I ever taught me that ice melts when the outside temperature gets above 0 degrees. So I thought, wow, I wonder what the temperature's like in Montana, in Glacier National Monument. And if you do a search on the internet, one of the beautiful things about the internet is you can find all sorts of stuff. I went to the historical climatic data, and you know what the average annual temperature is in Glacier National Park is around 41 degrees. Now, if it serves me right, ice melts at 32 degrees centigrade. If you put your ice cream in your refrigerator at 42 degrees, it's going to melt. Well, you know, if the ice melting in Glacier National Parks is evidence that the planet's warming, something's wrong with that picture if the temperature's 41 degrees. So I go, I'm asking myself the second question. Well, wait a second. There's what they always want to show you. Greenpeace has got this great, great picture on their site, Glacier National Park. 1958, a guy's standing by this ice behind him. It's very dramatic, you know. 2001, ice is gone. Except if you look at the picture very carefully, there are ice caps in the picture that you can superimpose. And they have not moved at all, no recession. And I'm going, well, wait a second. Maybe it was just that it's above the freezing point of ice. It has nothing to do with the planet getting hotter or anything. And so the other question that comes to my mind is, hey, if they'd taken that picture in 1958, and the temperature of the planet had not changed in the least, what would the picture look like? And I assume that it would probably look pretty much the same. And then I'm looking at the temperature data for Glacier National Park, and I'm looking through the list of links that come up when you do a search for that. And wow, in 2003, there was a big forest fire in Glacier National Park. Now, what do you think would happen to your ice cream if you put it in your oven? Or by your oven when you're baking a pie? Do you think it might melt faster? So I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know, okay, you know, it's very dramatic. You all have seen it. And if you watched 60 Minutes last week, you had seen it too. You'd seen it too. They showed Scott Pelley, we're going to go and see what's happening in Antarctica. Well, first thing that they did, they didn't take me to Antarctica. They took me to Patagonia in South America.
So are you of the opinion that global warming is not happening, or just that we're not to blame for it, or there's nothing we can do about it?
All three.
I'm pretty much with you on that.
All three. A, there's nothing we can do about it. B, it depends on what you mean by happening. Yesterday when I did the my Friday show, Dave Michael was in here, and we actually talked about the Iraq War a bit. And I want to throw this out because you came to mind as I left yesterday, Dave. And where you came to mind was he asked the question, don't you think this war is about oil? Now, I'm going to tell you the type of guy I am, is I think that people are very quick to grab data or information that may or may not be related and move on and not think about it much further. So after I left here, I thought that's a good question. That's actually a very good question, because my initial response to your question was, did we go into Iraq to try and steal all their oil? Because I think that most people, when they say their war was about oil, that's what their reference or frame of reference would be. Is that what you meant?
No, I don't mean to steal the oil. I meant to secure, you know, to make sure that nutballs don't get a hold of that oil.
Yeah, and I my response to you was very something to the effect that well, I don't know if that's why we went there. I think we might have gone there in large measure to make the world a more stable place. And by stabilizing the world oil supply, we make the world a more stable place for all of us, okay? So, but I realized in listening to you the first time, I really was not certain what you're talking about and referring to, because a lot of people, I think we went to Iraq just to get oil so we could steal it so we could have cheap oil. So that's the context of the show today, folks. I'm going to use a lot of stuff about global warming because what I want to share with you and communicate with you is why I've come to my conclusions and what, where my thought process is on this matter. Because I think an issue here is a much bigger question, and that is, how are we propagandized And what is science, and how are people that represent themselves as scientists co-opted, and are they up to an agenda? 479-1080, fax me at 475-2967. So back to the 60 Minutes piece. Patagonia. So they're showing all this stuff. I wish I could had my piece downloaded, but it doesn't matter. I remember it pretty good. So they're showing how all this ice has receded. And these guys are dressed with a jacket probably no heavier than the one I'm wearing. And I'm going, looks like the outside temperature there is probably 40, 50 degrees. They got pretty light jackets on, and if the temperature's 40, 50 degrees, the ice would have been melting anyway. And then they walk up on this area where the glacier was supposed to have been, and you know what the next comment is? Is that, in fact, you can see the soot on the ice from volcanic action. I'm going, wait a second. The soot on the ice from volcanic action? Huh. I didn't even know there were volcanoes in this area of Patagonia. Now, if there's a volcano around someplace and there's it's spewing stuff in the air, do you think that would raise the ambient outside temperature, the surrounding temperature? And then they go a little bit further, and then they talk about, we got to wake up. The problem's so terrible and bad because, you know what? These melting glaciers have been feeding, are the major water supply for the Argentinians, the Japanese. Most of the world's glaciers provide water for most of the world's population. Now, wait a second, folks. I want you to understand something. Clearly, it is a problem that mankind has to face if our major water source is melting glaciers. And if the glaciers are melting and the water's running off, and it has a finite period of time, we got to be concerned about. But that's a very different question from, are we undergoing global warming and is it happening faster? So within the first 10 minutes of the show, there's three things that give me cause to concern. A, they're citing melting glaciers as evidence the planet's getting hotter in a place that actually, when I checked the ambient temperature of Patagonia, I think it was in 38 degrees, but I won't swear on that one, folks. B, they're going up on an ice sheet there that's got soot from volcanoes, I assume. And C, the glaciers have been melting all the time. However, they're citing glaciers, melting of glaciers, as evidence of the planet getting hotter. 479-1080, fax me 475-2967. We have calls coming in. I think that what we're going to go ahead and do is do our first commercial break, if I can get Dave his attention, because actually what we'll do is I'll do my first call because Mark's in a truck, and then we will take our commercial break because I don't want to lose people. Mark, you're on the air.
And you won't have to worry about this being very long because I'll get right to it.
I'm not worried. You have all the time in the world with Vernon.
Okay, Vernon. You know, I was born in 1950. No, I'm kidding. You know, whenever you guys... and I love your show, Vernon. And Dave. Whenever you guys... Or I'm not you guys, but whenever someone brings up global warming, the question always comes into my mind. Number one, how did the country Greenland get its name? Two, when did the country Greenland get its name? Do they talk about all of the melting that's going on there?
Oh, yes, they are. They are talking about some of the melting going there and trying to draw some correlations, but we'll deal with that a little bit later.
But still, when did the country Greenland get its name? When?
I can't remember.
Yeah, and why?
It used to be Iceland, as I recall.
I know, and why did it get its name, Greenland?
Because it's green; they could grow stuff.
Because it goes in the world. Yes, we're going through some type of warming. I think the world goes through some type of warming. It gets warm, it gets cold, and the currents of the oceans change, and they go down into where the Antarctica is and melts things around, and then it freezes back. It's we might have a little bit of impact on the world. A little bit, but I don't think to the extent that, oh my God, you know, death and destruction is around the corner.
If we have the impact, how come we can't control the weather?
That's what I mean. That's you just summed it up pretty good.
And, Mark, I like the call because, there again, like I say, I'm using the global warming stuff as an example right now, but I'm really – I think what's absolutely more fascinating about this to me is a concerted attack in the news media to promote this agenda, number one. What we need to really look at is the costs of this agenda, number two. Are you with me so far?
Hanging right here.
And number three is I started to put together a show last night and started to look up the next place they went to, which was down in Paradise Cove on the outer edge of Antarctica. There was amazing stuff that came up that wasn't out there, and I thought, thank God we have the bloggers. Thank God we have intelligent people. I found some great blogs. People had very good credentials, and then I thought my heart sunk. Because I was left with the thought, but it never gets out there. And
what's fascinating and also scary is it's not just our media that's on board with this. It's the global media is starting to push this thing with for reasons I don't quite understand. You know, I do refrigeration for a living, and the big thing was with us was we have to get rid of R12 because it's causing a hole in the ozone. It's causing, and we had to get, and it destroyed the industry. It turned it upside down. It's actually made it worse now than it was before they started messing around with the industry. So instead of saying, don't vent this stuff, just reclaim it. So R12 is gone. The replacement refrigerant is not as good. R22, which people use in their air conditionings, will be gone in another 15 years, you'll no longer be able to use R22. The replacement for that refrigerant does more heat, pulls out more heat, but the equipment has to be bigger, so I don't see why it can be any better. But I heard a thing on the news, and I haven't followed this up. They say all of a sudden the hole in the ozone is now dramatically has disappeared. It's no longer a hole there. And someone said that somebody from NASA said, well, you know what? We found out that there wasn't any real concrete proof that it was the CFCs that was causing a hole in the ozone layer, but we kind of had a theory that it might be that, and it turned the whole refrigeration industry on its ear.
By the way, let me tell you, Cyril called in, let Dave know that Leif Erikson named Greenland in the year 1000 and something.
1,000 is called Greenland. Boy, what kind of SUV?
At the time, it was green. Russians think they're so smart.
So what kind of SUVs were we driving in 1,000 BC and all this destruction?
It was that hard breathing, those rollers or those Viking ships.
Very good.
Mark, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. 479-10A. It's interesting that Mark would bring up the ozone hole because that's actually what kicked me off on my scientific exploration of most of this stuff. We'll go ahead and take James in Santa Cruz. He's been on a while here, and then we'll do our commercial break and then get back to the show. James, you're on the air.
Hey, Vernon.
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, trying to stay, you know, healthy from some of the colds that's been going around.
Are you trying to stay warm, too?
Well, I got to keep working, so, you know. Got to pay the bills.
So you got to be outside where it's cold.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, this topic is it's controversial in a lot of ways. I think you know, Earth is so big, it's kind of hard to say that since it is kind of an open system that as opposed to a closed system that there's a lot of variables, you know, that you have to look at that could have an effect one way or the other. So it's really hard to say if concretely that it is, you know, there is global warming or there isn't. I agree with you. I think the way that the Al Gore types are, you know, they're trying to sensationalize it. And it's important to kind of look at that as to, well, if there's a problem, you know, what's the solution? And typically their solutions tend to be like more regulation, more restriction, you know, in terms of from the government. But one thing I wanted to mention was that, you know, there's a part of science that I learned early on in biology that, you know, any green plant, you know, it has the ability to draw the carbon dioxide out of the air and produce oxygen. And this forms a symbiotic relationship with, carbon-based creatures like ourselves because we breathe out carbon dioxide and we need oxygen, so we're reliant upon that. But it's interesting when you have rapid deforestation that we are, you know, having in South America and, you know, parts of North America, and you know, you have a reduction of plant life on a massive scale and really quickly. You know, chainsaws and all the kind of harvesting that they do these days just are just, you can wipe out thousands of acres in no time. And if you look at how many other countries are coming up online and going through like a massive industrial growth too, it's a little bit more plausible to see that, you know, we could be having an effect on the, you know, there's no doubt that we are having an effect on the climate, but whether or not it can be reversible or not, that's, you know, that's sort of like, That's up in the air in terms of what the solution is. But I think it's important to kind of focus on when you hear the government look at this, and then they're proposing more restrictions upon our, like, our personal realities, as opposed to, you know, coming up with better solutions to supply us with electricity or energy, you know, sort of instead of giving subsidies to the oil companies, maybe, you know, giving some of those subsidies to, you know, other research and development in other fields that are going to produce energy in some other way, would, you know, you think that would be the direction they would want to go. But they always seem to propose restrictions, you know, upon the little person, you know, like we can't drive certain cars and, you know, we have to have different light bulbs, you know, it's like, so, you know.
James, you're, I love that because clearly you and I aren't doing God's work, you know. If you're Robert F. Kennedy Jr., or Al Gore, what you're doing is so important. You got to get in that jet and get all over the world to let people know how bad things are and pollute at a rate. Pollute or actually cause what you call pollution to occur on the planet at a rate that far exceeds anyone else because you're so important.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to drive because, you know, you're polluting the atmosphere. By the way, you should get one of those little electric cars, eh?
I don't think. I don't know. I mean, why? I would probably do something like that if there was.
If they're cheap enough, I would.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why wouldn't you? I mean, I bought a diesel vehicle because I thought, you know, diesel can run off of different kinds of fuels. You know, more, you know, oil. Yeah, because they're originally designed to run off of peanut oil. So, you know, I mean, that's one thing that I think is kind of grossly overlooked these days is the potential in the diesel market. I mean, they're using diesel vehicles over in Europe now for 10 years that get 56 miles to the gallon, use turbo diesel as technology in Germany and England. You know, they get 50, 60 miles to the gallon, and they're running off of, you know, biofuels there.
Now, you know, I'll tell you, a real selling point to sell something like that is because it gets 50, 60 miles to the gallon. But here's the problem, James, that I'm going to assert to you, is you get the diesel to get 50, 60 miles to the gallon, and you watch out, because those people that care about you are going to be out there, and before you know it, that diesel fuel's not going to be the $3 a gallon it is, because you get too many miles out of it. It's got to be worth $12 a gallon or $20.
Yeah, I noticed. I noticed it's already starting to change, Vernon. It's already starting to change. You know, the biofuels are, you know, a lot of the bigger companies like Safeway just shifted 100% of their fleet over to using biofuels. A lot of the bigger companies are starting to use.
You better watch it, James. We ain't not going to have any French fries from McDonald's or Burger King anymore.
Well, you know what? You know what's really interesting is instead of using food source oil. They've done research into with the Department of Agriculture and Department of Energy down in Arizona, New Mexico area, where they take water that's basically like sewage water, and then they put algae into it. They grow a tremendous amount of algae, and it reworks the water, so to speak. Water that would just be tossed away is used to grow algae, and so it doesn't impact water that humans need. And then the algae is used to produce oil, and algae produces way more oil than any other plant life, more than corn, more than palm oil, which produces a lot of oil.
Yes.
But, you know, so, I mean, that's an interesting concept. I was talking to the fellow that works up at started the Ben Lomond Feed. He had a biodiesel pump there for a while, And he was telling me about a study that was done just like this. And they were even using the stacks that they were using where they had a generator. They would take the carbon dioxide that was coming out of the stack, you know, that was burning,
yes,
you know, to run the generators. And they'd run that carbon dioxide back down to the pond. And then the pond, they'd percolate that into the pond, so that would help stimulate the growth of the
algae. Hey, that's very clever. That's very important. Hey, James, thanks for your call. Got to be moving on here, and have a great, keep listening.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye. Dave, I think we need to do our first commercial break for the lines. Do fill up. Folks, you're listening to Saturday Special. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V Cubed. We'll be right back. Unless you can't get them queued up in time, you should see the poor guy going nuts back there.
The energy crash you get after coffee or those so-called energy drinks wear off? You should try our new Feel Good drink. With all natural ingredients, our healthy formula works in minutes and lasts for hours with no jitters and no crash. It comes in both a convenient 12-ounce can and on-the-go powder pack to mix with water or your favorite juice. With only 24 calories, 5 sugars, and 6 carbs, this refreshing drink is diabetic-friendly. For a free sample or more information, call me, Robin, at 831-818-4144 or send me an email, robin@ksco.com.
When I was 10 years old, I fell out of a tree, broke my back, and suffered through 10 years of pain and prescription drugs. Then I discovered chiropractic. Hello, I'm Dr. Duncan McCollum, chiropractor.
I'm Darlene, and I've been coming to Dr. McCullough for several years because I was having kind of some chronic lower back problems. And I enjoy gardening and hiking, and I really think my spine has been straightening little by little and getting healthier. And I try to come in every week, and that allows me to lead the lifestyle I want. I actually feel now that I have more energy, stamina than I did in my 50s. I'm 65. I feel better when I come to Dr. McCullough, and then that's why I'm going to continue to come.
Chiropractic can help you, too. Be one of the first 10 callers and receive a free consultation and examination. I am Dr. Duncan McCollum of McCollum Family Chiropractic, and I want to help you. Call 459-9990. That's 459-9990.
You'll find the great outdoors on display this weekend at the Giant TS Gun Show in the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose. Yes, you'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, and accessories, and much, much more. Get in on all the fun of buying and selling at the Giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds in San Jose this Saturday and Sunday. Get there early for the best deals. Doors open at 9 a.m. You'll find hunting knives, all types of firearms, work knives, beautiful jewelry, sporting goods, hunting goods, safes, swords, ammo, survival books, Western art, military supplies for hunters and sportsmen, and much, much more. Don't miss the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person. Children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. Go for the great outdoors at the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds.
This is too much fun. That's great music. I'm going to pick you right up here in a second, Chris, but I got to read this to you. Vernon, at age 7, visits the glaciers. This is from Serial. By the way, I'm going to launch the site vernonvernonvernon.com. I actually post this one on there. I'm developing
the
site.
One.
Yeah. It says he was only V times 2 before puberty. And it shows little me in a ski hat, little hat, Niels Bohr Institute. My arms are out. I got my boots on. It's priceless. It says, what's the underlying presupposition here, Mr. Ranger? What do you think was here before the glacier? Your verbiage is nimble, but you are sorely lacking empirical data. But go on, sir. You know, these things are, in fact, priceless. 479-1080, fax me at 475-2967. Folks, really what's actually more interesting in the story, as far as I'm concerned, we can talk about whether it's global warming is occurring or not. But what's interesting is the propaganda aspect. And I'm going to pick you up here, Chris, but I want to put a question out here. we've got an hour and 22 minutes left. Can anyone out there find me a site that links temperature to the rate of ice melting? Because my assertion is that with respect to hard science, there's been virtually virtually no real hard science done regarding this issue. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for waiting and your patience.
Oh, hey, no problem at all. And, hey, Iceland and Greenland were named by the Vikings in late 12 or 1300. And I think the reason they did that is they went to Greenland and saw it was just nothing but ice. And they went to Iceland and saw that it was a place they could settle. And so they named them opposite so no one would come and try to conquer them because, you know, they'd go to Greenland and they'd say, well, holy Christ, what do you think Iceland's like? So they left the Vikings alone until they settled the place.
Well, I thought a lot of people left the Vikings alone because they were pretty nasty dudes.
Well, there's a little bit of Viking in everybody, I'll tell you that. I'm a Swede, Norwegian, and Finn. So, but anyway, you know, I don't really care if global warming is caused by humans or not. The thing to prevent what the thought of global warming could be, it would be to get better fuel efficiency in our cars, use less fuel, which is the money that our enemies use to fight us. You know, I don't see any, you know, I don't see, first thing Reagan did when he got into office is rip the solar panels off the White House. You know, I think that there's just too many oil lobbies on this thing that is causing this. You know, they don't want people to get better fuel efficiency. They're making record profits now, even though I remember before we went into Iraq, there was a chain that said, well, I think this will take 6 weeks, maybe 6 months, and then the whole war will be paid for with Iraqi oil. Well, come on, man. I've got that on tape. He said that. You know,
you are absolutely right. And what's funny about that is there again, when Dave asked me yesterday if I thought the war was about oil and everything, I said, we haven't seen it yet. We haven't gotten any.
Oh, no, you know, well, before we went in there, it was $1.20 a gallon. You know, now we invaded and are occupying the second oil richest country in the world, and our gas prices have almost tripled. So, you know, but also the oil companies are making record profits. They're actually getting fuel subsidies. You know, they're getting tax write-offs from the federal government. You know, they get tax breaks because they're oil companies, and they just talk about Anwar province. So let's get some more. You know, we don't need foreign oil. We could go up into the Anwar province and drill for oil there. Well, the oil we get from Valdez and the Alaska pipeline goes to Japan. So we don't gain anything off the oil we drill out of Alaska now. We just sell it to Japan.
Hey, Chris, is this kind of like the old country western song, they get the oil, we get the shaft?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, with the people we have in office right now, and you know, it's just, I don't see anything wrong with
Chris, let me ask you think the next batch is going to be any better?
No, they're all politicians. I think it should be like jury duty. I mean, you should have to, you call them to, you know, they just pay them enough to be a good president, for one thing. I think that all the rather than having the people and lobbyists pay money to candidates to get into, you know, to pay for their advertisement, I think we should just, they write that off anyway. So we should just have the federal government pay for all these ads, give them a set amount of piece, all the same amount of money, and that way no lobbyists, no donations at all. Because then they don't owe these people something, you know.
I know. I think the median income in Santa Cruz County is something like $50,000 or something like that. We shouldn't pay them more than the average guy works. Because remember, in government agencies, people talk about parity with other government agencies, not parity with the incomes of the people in their communities.
Well, politicians were supposed to just come in, do it as a service part time, and then go away. Now we got career politicians, and that's the problem. You know, these people do nothing but, and once they get out of Congress or Senate, they wait for a year and then they become lobbyists and make, you know, $1 million a year.
We train them to go out and make more money, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we're trying to go out and make more money after they steal the money we have. You know, it's just an insane deal. And what I'm saying is, even though, I don't know if there's proof that man caused global warming. I worked in Glacier Park.
Were you a ranger up there?
No, I was a tour bus driver. I drive one of those white.
Yeah. What was the average temperature when you would work in the summer?
Well, in the summer, it'd get nice and warm. It'd be in the 60s, 70s. But in the wintertime, no one was there.
Yeah, well, I bet you when that temperature got up 60, 70, maybe that caused the glaciers to melt some every year.
Well, I'm sure it did. But also, the glaciers would get topped off every year by new, more and more layers of snow.
I know, but the lower layers melt.
Well, yes, the lower layers melt, but I mean, I've seen the pictures of Salamander Glacier that I saw in the summer being going up miles that is barely existent now at the same time of summer when I saw it when I worked there. So I think that it is happening. I mean, the piece of the iceberg that are floating out in Antarctica right now, the ones that are breaking off.
Well, that was the next place I was going to go to because they want the next piece on the 60 Minutes piece was Paradise Cove. Very interesting place from the standpoint of their reporting in terms of propaganda, and I'll cover that in a second because did you know that underneath those shelves they've discovered some new underwater volcanoes?
Something created Antarctica.
You know? Hey, Chris, I got to move on, but thanks for the call so much, okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 479-1080, fax me at 475-2967. Al, I'm going to pick you up here. I want to get you on the table, but they went to Paradise Cove. Here again, Paradise Cove is on the outer edge of Antarctica. It's actually quite temperate. And they did something about these chinstrap penguins, and I don't have my audio file. I wish I did, but you can get this and see it on the 60 Minutes site. Lo and behold, the penguin populations are decreasing. And when asked, they said, the scientists there said that they were not really, they didn't know. But they thought it was a decrease in the krill shrimp. They thought. And then at the end, the guy says, you start putting all the dots together and you see how bad it is. Go ahead, Al.
Well, I know nothing about penguins.
Or krill.
Nor krill. But listen, Chris was about half right. But let me correct a couple things he said before I move on to something I think you'd like to hear. First of all, Greenland was called Greenland because they could grow grapes up there at the time. Okay.
Yeah, it would have been called, maybe it would have been called Wineland if they were making wine up
Vinland.
There.
Yeah, they were.
Vinland.
That's why they call it Greenland, because they were growing grapes to make wine. Anyway, the second thing is the reason we export the oil from Alaska to Japan is because it's such thick crude that we, in the United States, do not have a refinery that is capable of refining it.
It would clog our refineries, eh?
That's because we haven't built any refinery in 30 years. But we have built, at this point, about 50 ethanol refineries in the Midwest. I don't hear the environmentalists screaming about that. And there's more on the drawing boards, I think, another 70 or so. And let me just point out a few things that have happened over the last few years that are absolutely disastrous, connected with three different types of so-called clean biofuels. We'll start out with palm oil. Indonesia, a relatively small country, cut down hundreds and hundreds of acres of forest to plant palm trees for the oil. The exposure of the peat that had been more or less being taken, the carbon dioxide had been taken care of by the forest, and the smoke that was created by burning all those trees that they'd cut down made Indonesia the worst polluting country in the world at the time, just a couple of years ago. And that's compared to China and India that are burning coal up the gazoo.
Just when you didn't think it could get any worse, it did.
Yeah, and then we'll take Brazil, next example. Just reported in the latest Economist, Brazil has cleared more rainforest in last year, 2007, than a record amount to plant sugarcane. Brazil runs 80% of its vehicles on a biodiesels. And then we have the disaster of the corn in the United States. At the mouth of the Mississippi River, there is a dead zone that's growing quite rapidly. And what it is from is all the nitrogen runoff from the petrochemical-based fertilizers that the corn farmers are using. And it creates algae blooms in the ocean that take all the oxygen and starve everything else. And that sucker is growing really fast. So, and then you give, you know, your previous caller, Chris, was moaning about the kind of subsidies the oil companies get. Well, those corn refineries get 51 cents a gallon subsidy from you and me and everybody else.
That makes that pretty lucrative business.
That's why there's so much of it going on. And to make it even more lucrative and less competitive, they slap an equal tariff on every gallon of sugar-based ethanol from Brazil, and they even slap a tariff on sugar from outside the country. Now, I don't see any sense in any of this. And when you consider the environmental disasters that are associated with these biofuels that are supposed to be so perfect, if you remember about a decade or two ago, all the environmentalists were up in arms because the rainforest was being cleared for cattle grazing.
Yes.
To make more Big Macs.
Yes.
Well, of course, they didn't like that because there, a lot of them aren't meat eaters. But now that they're doing it for that clean biofuel that's going to save us from ourselves, you don't hear a peep out of these watermelon environmentalists.
It sounds pretty. They sound pretty corny to me.
Well, you know, just for the sake of your audience members who may not know what a watermelon environmentalist is, they're green on the outside and red on the inside, and their whole goal is to shut down capitalism and create a bigger government to run our lives.
And a more terrible world.
Yeah, and, you know, the basic drive behind this whole man-caused global warming is to increase government, increase taxes and fees, increase regulations, decrease individual freedom, get us all, you know, moving lockstep in a more socialized economy. And I ain't going for it.
Al, let me ask you a question. How did they measure the global temperature a million years ago? No, I want to know.
They stuck their finger out the window of their igloo.
No, how did they measure the global temperature a million years ago? Folks, I want you to deal with that question here.
Well, I don't think anybody at the time was measuring global temperature.
No, but they're saying we're in the hottest period on record. How about 10,000 years ago?
Well,
global,
you know,
temperature. Global is a key word here, folks. The global temperature. Because remember, and how do they measure the average global temperature today, and what does that term mean?
I don't think it means anything. I don't think you can measure the average global temperature. It really doesn't mean anything.
But that's what we're being driven into hysteria over. Measuring the average global temperature has changed. By the way, I'm going to tell you, you know, when you read these reports, because a lot of people don't, they don't report the average global temperature. You know what they do? They report the temperature anomaly.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, it's the relative change over a period of time.
It's the difference from an arbitrary average. Al, got to move on.
Okay,
appreciate the call, bud. Bye-bye. 479-1080, fax me 475-2967. Zoltan.
Yeah, hi. Al was saying a couple of very nice things about, good things about what happened in Indonesia. What I'd like to add to it is this sustainable biodiesel and biofuel production. It's a sustainable stupidity for all these environmental wackos. What they did in actually Indonesia, they clear cut hundreds of tens of thousands of acres, so they created floods because, you know, the vegetation is just slipping off the mountainside. They created so much smoke, and actually in Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, they had to warn people from the smoke, because it was just the whole peninsula was totally smoke. And another thing is global warming is just a total hoax. It's driven by the lawyers, driven by the international socialists and communists. What they really want to do is they just want to set up this carbon trading scam, which is the biggest scam in the whole world right now, hundreds of billions of dollars, so they can take the money out of our economy, tax all the industry, tax all the energy, and then put some of this money and transfer it to Africa, some of these developing countries. In other words, whatever you and I, we drive, doesn't make any difference what the temperature is. They just want to now get the tax money. And these lawyers are getting, you know, $500 to $700 per hour in the billing and milking our economy. And you know, that's what we are facing. That's the biggest hoax. And if you look at it, you know, what Saddam Hussein, during Saddam, the UN scammed over $22 billion worth of, you know, oil money from Iraq. So they're desperately looking for some finances to come and actually finance the UN so they can have a nice lifestyle on your and my money.
Yeah, are you saying that these people can claim that they don't pollute if they buy the right to use your pollution?
it's totally insane. Okay, now
I know, Zoltan. But here's the problem: is what a concerted effort. Like I just told you, within the last week, it's been cold. It's been very cold around here. I don't remember being up here where we've had snow on our up 17 during 10 o'clock in the morning, and yet they got to drag out all this old stuff. What in fact is the purpose of the propaganda, and is it sinking into the American public at large?
They could care less. That this is just a thick propaganda. You could have minus 55 degree Fahrenheit in July in California, still going to be global warming. Doesn't make any damn difference.
Well said, Zoltan. Okay, that is the truth.
And if you look at it, Johannesburg had snow, okay? Argentina had record cold. Australia had record cold. And if you go back in history, Yosemite was under the ice age during the last 10,000 years, twice. A year in 5,000 BC and 10,000 BC. In the same time, the Sahara in Africa was actually the fertile land so they could grow crop and palm trees and all the stuff. And during that time, the magnetic North Pole, South Pole shifted, like a couple of degrees, which moved the whole climate further north and turned the Sahara into Sahara what is today.
Why do we have a population that's frantically going out there in a tizzy about our planet heating? That's a propaganda campaign that's effective, and can we reverse that?
Well, you could reserve that if you would line up 10,000 lawyers and execute them.
On that note, Zoltan, thanks for the call.
I know we can't do that, but anyway.
No, it's a great metaphorical statement, though.
Yeah,
thanks
right.
So much. Bye-bye. 479-1080, fax 475-2967. We have a couple commercials we should probably play very quickly. Then I will hold anyone over the top of the hour that I didn't get in here. And I want to continue to get out some real interesting, what I consider to be interesting questions to you folks. You might not consider them interesting, but we shall see. Hit it. We'll play our last commercials, then we'll go back to the lines here with Peter. You're next, Michael, Band Mike, and I'll be right back with you.
It's that time of year again when you'll be running your old inefficient heater. This year, Day and Night wants to make sure you don't get left out in the cold. We want to help you make sure your home is comfortable, healthy, and efficient. We will even pay you to replace your old furnace. That's right, pay you to replace that old furnace. The new day-night furnaces have newer, more efficient heat exchangers that will keep your family safer and more comfortable this winter. Not to mention the newer furnaces are 20 to 30% more efficient than the older models. And with energy prices on the rise, that means lower bills for you. So if you need a new furnace or just think you might, call for a free estimate. Staley's Heating in Santa Cruz, 831-633-3399. In Monterey, Nichols Plumbing and Heating at 831-393-3470. And AA Heating in Salinas at 831-758-5696. If you didn't get those names, visit us on the web at www.comfortdayandnight.com. That's www.comfortdayandnight.com. Remember, Day and Night wants you cozy all winter long.
Hi, I'm Bill Morrow, President and CEO of Pacific Gas and Electric Company. As you know, we're in the winter storm season here in California, and all of us at PG&E work hard to prepare for and minimize storm-related outages. However, some things are just in Mother Nature's control, and the most important thing for you to do during this time is to keep safe. We ask that you report any down power lines immediately by calling 1-800-PGE-5000. You should never try to touch or move the lines yourself. And if possible, turn off or unplug appliances to prevent the risk of equipment damage or fire when the power is restored. And if you do lose power, we'll be happy to give you a wake-up call, as well as give you more up-to-date information on your outage and time of restoration. I want you to know when an outage does occur, we are doing everything we can to get your power restored as quickly as possible. On behalf of the 20,000 men and women of PG&E, thank you for your patience, and let's stay safe.
Hey, Vernon.
Yes?
Don't try to move power lines on your own.
Or if you try and do it with the back of your hand.
Yeah, do it with the back. I was using my teeth the other day, and That's not a good idea.
Did that give you lockjaw?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, folks, back here with you. I'm going to go quickly to Peter here. Peter, you're on the air.
Vernon.
Yes.
So many conspiracies, so little science.
So little science. Can you direct me to a link? Can you give me a reference for where I can find the correlation to ambient temperature and the melting rate of pure ice?
I can't. That's something in the physical science world, and I'm a tech guy, so let's deal with some of the things that I'm aware of. And perhaps you have the answers for me, some questions. What's the temperature inside of your basic internal combustion engine, approximately? What's the temperature of the...
What, 1,800? No. It's got to be less than... In the combustion chamber itself?
Yes.
Because your block temperatures typically run, what, 170, 212, something like that. That's why you have...
That's why you got the coolant. But in the combustion 1800, itself...
1,800 degrees?
1,500. I'll accept 1,800. So you would premise then that when we have combustion going on, it's at a pretty high temperature, right?
Yes.
And just for reference, wouldn't you agree that a gallon of gas contains just a tremendous amount of energy?
Yes, and I'll do the calculation over the top of the hour to the extent that I can. We're coming to the top of the hour here. Will you hold with me?
Are we coming up on it now?
Yeah, we've got exactly 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'll see you on the other side.
Okay, thanks so much, Peter. Folks, you're listening to KSCO in Santa Cruz.
Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. The showdown in South Carolina. You decide 2008 Democratic presidential hopefuls hoping to come away with delegates in today's state primary, but they'll need a certain number of votes.
15% is the minimum threshold upon which Democrats allocate delegates. So if you don't get 15% here in South Carolina, you don't get any delegates. 15% is the Edwards threshold here, but it's also the threshold elsewhere, because if Edwards is going to stay in this race, he can only stay in it as someone who acquires delegates. And you can only acquire delegates if you meet that 15% threshold. And for a candidate who won here in 2004, 15% would have to be regarded as the barest of minimums.
Fox's Major Garrett, John Edwards, says he'll keep campaigning no matter what today's outcome may be, and all 45 delegates are at stake. In his weekly radio address, President Bush focusing on the economy, believing Congress should pass the economic stimulus package worked out between the White House and House leaders.
I believe that with swift action, we can give our economy the boost it needs to continue expanding and creating new jobs for our citizens.
The Democratic response, acknowledging the agreement reached is a start, but also recognizing much more needs to be done.
Even as his policies have escalated this unbelievable federal debt load, he continues to insist on giving more tax breaks to the super wealthy. Now, the American people know that doesn't add up. That has to change.
North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan. Chicago police now reportedly say remains found last night in the city are not that of either Stacy Peterson or Lisa Stebbick. Peterson's been missing since last October. Lisa Stebbick disappeared in April of last year. And they found someone alive. One missing snowboarder walks out of California's San Gabriel Mountains on his own, where avalanches crashed down the mountainsides this week. And all three people died in those avalanches, as the L.A. County Sheriff's Office has ended its search, since all those missing are now accounted for. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Remembering Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
This is Fox News Talk.
It could have been a lot worse. Yesterday's fire at a Las Vegas hotel only left people inside with minor injuries, but no one knows yet how it started, says Fox's Dan Springer.
Investigators will spend the day trying to determine the cause of a fire at the Monte Carlo Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip. The fire broke out Friday along the roof of the 12-year-old hotel and casino. Clark County officials say welders were seen working on the roof shortly before flames broke out before 11 o'clock. As many as 17 hotel guests and gamblers suffered minor injuries. The 3,000-room hotel remains closed as guests were shuttled to other nearby hotels owned by MGM Mirage. In Las Vegas, Dan Springer, Fox News Radio.
When you think of a presidential candidate, ever think of a dog with similar traits? Animal behavior specialist Terry Bright believes there is a correlation.
The Labrador Retrievers represent the sporting group, like Golden Retrievers, those kind of dogs. And the Rottweiler represents the working group. You really think of someone like John McCain because you think of, like, military work, things like that.
For Republican Mike Huckabee, it's a Boston Terrier. For Democrat Barack Obama, a border collie. Can Tiger hold him off? Tiger Woods leads the Buick Invitational in San Diego after two rounds at 12 under par. Third round just getting underway. He's got a four-shot lead over Kevin Streelman. Stewart Cink, five shots off the lead. Tiger's won this PGA Tour event five times in the past. Come next week in northern New Jersey, it'll be deer hunting season. The 10-day hunt intended to cut down the deer population that supporters say is plaguing a reservation. The deer are eating up underbrush. But animal rights activists don't like the idea of killing off the deer, more in favor of using other means like contraceptives to reduce their numbers. And others worry that bullets are going to whiz by their houses, although hunters are told to stay at least 450 feet away from residences. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, January 26th, 2007. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast. And today's forecast calls for windy and wet conditions. High should be around 62 degrees with wind southeast at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, more rain is likely with lows around 47 degrees and wind southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, southeast winds 15 to 25 knots, occasional gale force gusts of up to 35 knots over the outer bay, wind waves 3 to 6 feet, and a northwest swell 3 to 8 feet at 13 seconds, and rain is likely out there on the bay. There's also a small craft advisory out there on the Monterey Bay, and that's going to remain in effect throughout late tonight. Outside KSCO Studios, the temperature is 56 degrees. The time inside KSCO Studios is 11:06, and it's time for hour number two of the Saturday special. Filling in for MZ, VQ.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Okay, folks, back here with you for the second hour of the Saturday special. Almost said noon balloon there, but we're not even to noon yet. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed. We are rehashing a very old subject, but the thing that's important about this, folks, is our brethren on the left are relentless about driving public policy under the guise of science, and will not stop in their propagandizing this issue of global warming. So in the last couple of weeks, I've seen a couple, 60 Minutes ran an old piece on it, and I was supposed to interview someone that wrote a book called Censoring Science. His name's Mark Bowen. He was not unable to make it today because he's ill or sick, but we'll get him on again, get his point of view. What was interesting reading the book is in 2005, you had reports that it was the hottest year on record. If you read the end of the first chapter in there, that's kind of not the whole story because different people came up with different temperatures for the same year, and some of them were actually lower than 1998. In fact, the British Meteorological Society, if you look at theirs, that was not the hottest year. And if you look at Hansen's original paper, which is what's fascinating to me because the news media never runs with it. I'm going to read this and I'm going to get back to Peter, who's talking to me about internal combustion engines. He says, our analysis differs from others by including estimated temperatures up to 1,200 kilometers from the nearest measurement station. Well, wait a second. We're told that the temperature was hotter. We were not told in our news media that we were given temperature estimates or averages based on temperature estimates. Right, Peter?
Well, Vernon.
I love that.
We've established that internal combustion engines, by their definition, burn very, very hot. That's not in a doubt for you, is it?
No.
And we were going to discuss the amount of energy within gasoline, and that's what makes it so indispensable, is that the equivalent is you have to burn approximately 200 pounds of absolutely dry wood to get the very same amount of energy that you get out of 1 gallon of gas. That just to give people an idea of how much energy
there is. How efficient gasoline is a source of energy.
Absolutely. Now, where this all ties in together is, and what's missing in the equation is, at the turn of the century, at the 1900 year, there's approximately 2 billion people on the planet, and yet there was well under 1 million internal combustion engine vehicles at that time. We roll forward to today in 2006, where we have 6 billion people on the planet right now. And in the United States, and by estimations, there's over 1 billion automobiles worldwide right now. The United States burns through 300 million gallons of gas a day in the U.S. So just simple math for you, Vernon. If that's 190 pounds instead of the 300 million gallons of gas, that's some pretty hot fires burning every day, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
And, in fact, the amount of burning going on today in internal combustion engines is exponential from the year 1900. As your understanding of exponential.
Yeah, absolutely. But the temperatures have not gone up exponentially. And this is one of the another problem I have with this whole dialogue.
I wasn't suggesting the correlation to temperature. We're merely discussing the presence of internal combustion engines. And what they do is produce a lot of heat. You don't disagree with that, do you?
No, I don't. I don't, no.
Well, now, to wrap this thing up, not to bore people, most people don't want to hear technical things like this.
No pun intended on my name either.
Of course not. I've got my, what I call my global climate change home test kit that you can confirm exactly what it is that the internal combustion engine brings. You see, this is also a favorite method of suicide with the elderly people in Florida. They drive their cars into their garage. They close the garage doors and all the doors, and then they floor the engine.
And suffocate themselves to death.
They suffocate, but, you know, every time that the fire department find these people after these cars have run their course, the temperatures have reached in excess of 400 degrees within this confined space.
Now, that's fascinating. I didn't realize that. It's not fascinating that people commit suicide, but that's something I would have never thought of, Peter.
Well, all I wanted to bring, I'm not going to make any comment on whether it exists or not, but I'm here to premise to anybody that doesn't believe that the difference between our ancestors and now is 300 million gallons of burning fuel.
Huge
every
differences
day.
Between now and back then, that's for sure.
And that's my technical, not my scientific, analysis of internal combustion engines and what they contribute to the environment.
Raising the temperature of the planet.
Thank you, Vernon.
Thank you so much, Peter. Bye-bye. 479-1080. Folks, I got to take this. Someone's got an opposing opinion to me. They probably want to really jump on me, so I'm going to have you hold Michael and Band Mike and Rick, and I'm going to take Albert right away. Albert, you're on the air.
Hi, Victor.
Vernon, but that's okay.
Vernon. Hi,
I go by anything.
Okay. Well, it seems like, you know, all the callers are basically just echoing what you say, that it's just Al Gore is wrong and that there's no scientific evidence to prove anything. But there really is a lot of scientific evidence, such as ice cores, which give exact temperature and atmospheric gas conditions for millions and millions of years. And there's never really anything in evidence in the past that is like what's going on right now.
Well, I know I recognize there's ice core data. Do you know that the ice core data that they use to calculate the pre-industrial carbon dioxide levels, that they actually literally cherry-picked the points, threw out half the data points to get it down at 280 parts per million, and if they'd done included all the data points, it would probably be closer to around 330?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I can. You can go to one of the sites I put up there, and you can look the data yourself. This was a congressional testimonial by a Jaworski. I can't get my mouth going around that. And the plots and graphs are there. By the way, Albert, I'm glad you called, because one of the things I want to say, if you didn't really catch it at the first part of the show, is I'm less. What I'm concerned about is the data that's put out there, the way the news reports it, and the way the news propagandizes it. One of the things I have a problem with in terms of this whole debate is true science that's meaningful, or anyway, quantitative science, doesn't talk about hottest years on record. Science in its objectivity says temperature this year, what the average temperature this year was 73.5 degrees versus the last warmest temperature measured in 1998, which was 73.45 degrees. That's science.
What do you have to say about the CO2 graph that shows, you know, the last ice age, the CO2 peaked and all the other ice ages, and right now the CO2 is like 5 times worse than it's ever been.
Well,
and
actually,
what about that?
That's a good question. How many different places on the planet do they measure the CO2 concentration that you see?
Oh, I don't know. This probably comes from the ice cores.
No, the ones that you see right now are measured in Mauna Loa. One place on a planet of I don't know how many square miles. Okay.
Well, we have like disappearing rainforest.
Wait. Albert, I'll let you get on the rainforest, okay? But one of the things I have when I'm talking to people who disagree with me like that is when we're dealing with one issue and they don't seem to be making any headway with their argument, and I'm trying to actually answer the question, they want to move on to something else.
You guys all have your head in the sand.
Well, I just
don't want to listen to anything different.
Albert, I'm listening to you. What I asked.
What about all the corn that we're turning into ethanol, and we have famines all over the planet? The weather patterns are changing, and the crops aren't going to be the same. There's not going to be as much food.
What about the fact that we got these terrible storms here in Santa Cruz and the mountains are waning away and it's snowing too, Albert? I agree with you. That's what you're doing with me. That's what you are, in fact, doing with me. I asked you a very logical, legitimate question. I said, did you know that the carbon dioxide data that they based these huge increases on is actually throughout most of the data points to get them, number one? The second question
I
asked
you. I don't believe that.
Well,
it just sounds like something that, you know, misinformation to counteract reality.
You don't believe it. Don't confuse me with the facts.
Don't believe it.
Huh? Are you willing to look up the date? You want willing to go?
I've looked at it.
Have you?
Many movies, not just.
How many? Which movies have you seen?
The
Day After Tomorrow.
No, that was.
I saw that one. That was a lot of fun too.
Hey, well, you know, if this all could just be a natural thing, where the earth, people, animals, they give off CO2, it builds up, it slowly gets warm, and then everything melts, and things change around, and we get new life.
Do you know that the planet, in fact, the PBS piece that I watched last night before going to bed, that the planet has been warming, has been cooling? Actually, the ice has been melting on the planet since it was formed, because I don't know how many billions of years ago the planet was encased in ice, if you believe the piece I saw on PBS last night. The equator originally had ice on it. It's been receding for I don't know how many billions of years. Listen.
I don't think it's billions, you know. I mean, we're talking about the Sahara was a forested place, and that there's seashells in Antarctica. You know, it's not billions of years. It's like a 24,000-year cycle or something like that.
Do you know?
It comes and it goes. It's just like breathing.
It's the Earth.
Albert, do you know that if you look at the data that they present to you, and you look 24,000 years ago, it was actually warmer then than it is now?
Yeah, and 37,000 years ago, it was colder.
Yeah, and do you know that if you look at the estimates of the global temperature over the last 2 billion years, we are right in the coldest parts of the planet ever. Did you know that?
Well,
I don't believe you. Probably don't believe me, but
I don't believe you.
Global temperature reconstruction over last 2 billion years. The guy that did it is. I'll find his name here, but I originally got it off of a NASA newsletter I'm part of, and we're right in one of the coolest parts of the planet.
Well, you know, all these aren't exactly right. Like, you know, battery power, you know, a battery, it takes 10 times as much energy to make a battery as you get out of it. How is that going to help?
Well, I would agree with you there.
Because we don't have... It's not putting out CO2. It's still causing major problems.
Yeah, so I guess we need to go back to our past and maybe start burning wood fuels or something.
I don't think. Well, that also puts out. I don't know. We need to advance, but we don't need to advance and just by keep going blindly the way we're going. I'm going to let somebody else on, and thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
479-1080. Fax me at 475-2967. Michael, thank you for your patience. You've been on a long time. I'm going to get to you next, man. Mike, Rick, Hans, Gordon. Go ahead.
Hey.
Yes.
Three quick points.
Yes.
Mount Pinatubo, for putting enough stuff in the atmosphere, would take us about 350 years to produce the same amount, but yet the atmosphere completely cleansed it in less than 18 months. Pretty astonishing. As far as global temperature rises, the averages, they take these temperatures primarily from inside of cities. Well, as cities grow, they get hotter, don't they? More asphalt, more concrete, so naturally you're going to get a rise in average temperatures in the cities, and when they put all those together, it makes it look like the temperature of the planet is rising. And if you put man in perspective to the Earth, we are nothing but a little hill of piss ants, and the Earth is Mount Everest. How can we possibly affect the climate?
You know,
it's absurd, man. It's totally absurd. Every time I hear it, I want to laugh.
But you know, there's this concerted effort of propaganda. Really, at the heart of what I want to do on the show is the propaganda out there. Michael, I want to ask you a question. What is the meaning of a term, or how do you even define something like the average annual global temperature?
There is no such thing.
How do you do it?
Well, there is no global temperature.
And then
it's constantly changing. I mean, I'm only 50 years old, man, and I've seen it go from being real wet and cold back in the 60s and early 70s, and they're talking about ice age, and then we go through this period in the 80s where it gets real hot, and then it got cold again in the early 90s, and then it heats back up again. It's just the Earth just does this stuff.
It just does whatever it does.
We're talking about a big, huge planet here. There's nothing that guides it. There's no rule book the planet follows. I mean, we have jet streams which flow because of the rotation of the Earth, but other than that, there's absolutely nothing that controls the climate.
It's like these
people think that the weather is a computer program and it's supposed to follow that program. You can't program the planet. The planet's not programmed.
No, I love it because we've
got... Everything is random. It's random and random and random and random. There's nothing organized, nothing...
Except for the computer programs that they run to simulate weather situations that, in fact, I just ran into one today, and it was... It basically says that all the models are wrong.
Well, I mean, it's insane to think that you can predict it. I mean, because any little bitty thing can happen,
you know,
and it just changes everything. And just, you know, the idea that we bitty, teeny, weeny, microscopic little human beings can affect and ch- change and also the climate on this huge planet is just absolutely absurd.
And, Michael,
and
you know...
people that believe it, they got tiny little itty-bitty brains, and they don't know how to use them.
And, Michael, you know what? If he'd been on today, I suspect he would have told you, is you have been co-opted by the propaganda of the big oil companies.
I ain't been co-opted by nothing, man. I use my own brain and my own 187 IQ. I don't need their advice.
Michael, I really appreciate the call. You have a great day, okay?
All right.
Bye-bye. 479-1080. Fax me 475-2967. Band Mike.
Vernon.
Yes.
Vernon.
I like the name. I don't know that it applies because I've never... Band Mike.
Well, I have to say that.
Yes.
That's MZ's rule.
Oh, okay.
Because I got banned.
Okay.
And, well, then he made a new rule that individual hosts have the choice of whether or not to allow someone who's banned to come on the program.
I will never censure
and
you.
So
I might not agree with you on most things, but
well,
I won't censure you.
Well, it's only fair of me make sure that you know who I am
before
you bring me on.
I suspect I would recognize your voice unless you got a scrambler.
Well, anyhow... the ambient temperature, you know, you can, the average temperature, like you're asking, you can figure it over a month or a year or a century.
But what's the meaning of that?
Well, I'm saying there isn't any. You can go over a millennia. You can take it over 100,000 years. You can try. The point is, what would be the average temperature, over the life of the planet is what you have to address eventually. And the life of the planet isn't done yet.
and by the way, I want to throw this one out, Mike, because it's one of the things that I had never. It's so self-evident. Is all the you know what proxy data is?
No.
It's the information that they make up. In other words, I go out and I do ice core samples and I come up with a good scientific theory to recalculate da da da, and so I back calculate what the temperature was a million years ago.
Yeah.
Because there's no one around measuring and recording that I know of.
Yeah, I don't think they can do it.
Okay, but they do. They do, and that's how they tell us that we're hotter than we ever have been and all this stuff. The thing that struck me about that is that if you're going to use that data with respect to global measurements, the planet measurements, there's roughly 6,000 weather stations on the planet right now. That's only from one point.
Yeah.
Now, that would be like saying is, you know what? The planet's growing hotter than it was 6,000 years ago. Where did you measure your temperature 6,000 years ago? Oh, at KSCO on the radio station.
Yeah. Well, see, we're taught in high school that the planet's been warming ever since the Ice Age.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so everybody already knows the planet's been warming. So what? You know, now, isn't a little global warming good for the carbon footprint? Mankind leaves a smaller carbon footprint if they don't have to burn so much fuel to heat their homes, and automobiles use a little less fuel in a higher ambient temperature. Okay? So, but then give them their agenda. If the world was to flood, like Al Gore says, and we lose the coastal cities and a whole lot of people, shouldn't the green meanies be happy about that?
Yeah, the people that know the whole problem on this planet is because of people. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they seem to think that we need to get rid of our cities and a whole lot of our people.
I love that, Mike, because that's a great one. Because on the one hand, they're saying, look at the terrible things you're doing that are going to kill all these people.
Yeah, so they're shooting.
But you're the ones that say we have too many people. Shouldn't that be a good thing?
They're shooting themselves in their own foot. Well.
right foot, left foot.
Yeah. First the right and then the left. Just might as well shoot them both off. But now, you ran into trouble by watching TV, Vernon.
No.
You should never watch TV. Scott Pelley, the 60 Minutes guy, he's one of our great propagandists of the age.
No, I know. But you know why? Listen, I'm not confused about watching TV. I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by the propaganda people are willing to put out there. And I'm willing to watch, keep my fingers on the pulse of propaganda.
Yeah, okay.
That's the whole, I'm amazed that here we are. We had one of the coldest winters. If you do enough researching and you do look at all this stuff, people say, hey, since this reported record temperature in 1998, the only story is that there has been no warming. And yet you can't hear that anyplace on television.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Pelley would call you the equivalent of a Holocaust denier.
Well, I'd call him the equivalent of a scientific moron.
Well, I believe he is. Now, Scott Pelley also.
And then, Mike, I'm going to give it back to you. And then I would be with him. I would ask him if he realizes that since 1955, when we started collecting data on carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, is that the acceleration of the growth of carbon dioxide is zero. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, now if you are putting it in so rapidly, wouldn't you expect the rate of growth to accelerate?
Huh? The growth of what?
Of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Well, yeah, we've got a whole lot more people that breathe out carbon
dioxide. We got a lot more people, a lot more automobiles, a lot more technology, a lot more airplanes and stuff. And the rate at which we're putting carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has gone exponentially, but the rate of growth of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that is not accelerated.
Yeah.
Now, that's very interesting because that says that the planet does its own balance. I would ask him that. I would ask him, Scott, just like I said in the last hour, can you show me a melting curve of ice based on temperature?
Yeah, I've been looking for that ever since you asked, and I haven't found anything.
Keep looking and email me when you find it.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated problem, by the way.
Yeah. But, well.
And then I gotta let you wrap it up and move on. I want to get to Rick and
the whole thing, what you're doing with this program, I have to offer a helpful criticism, Vernon.
Sure.
You can bring up all kinds of solid, intelligent, scientific, as you have been, arguments against what they're doing and all their bad science and all their illogic. And it's going to go nowhere because what you're dealing with is an emotional problem in an intellectual way, and you can't do it.
Now, except for the fact, Mike, here's the thing that I suggest to you. As you talk to people, if people don't tune me out, what you might actually have at your fingertips is the ability for people to start saying, well, wait a second, you know, I'd never looked at it that way, and might start to listen more closely to what they heard. I was in the station this morning. People asked me what I was going to talk about, and someone says, I'm going to listen to 60 Minutes tomorrow. Well, it's kind of a simple, stupid thing, but because most of us watch it, right?
Yeah. Well,
and so, you know, maybe. And besides that, Mike, what you need to understand about me is I have no beliefs that I'm going to move the planet in any major way any more than any other human that's come along here. All I can do is my yeoman's job of speaking what's accurate and seems to be true to me and interacting with other human beings.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm like Diogenes, you know, I'm looking for an honest man, and if I don't ever find one, you know, that's my task in life.
Yeah. Well, somehow we have to reach up and make a difference in as far as the momentum of this whole bad science movement goes, because what's coming down is global control, micromanagement of our individual lives. That thing that was up in last week about the control of your house thermostat.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Mike, got to go. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 479-1080, fax me at 475-2967. Scott, you've been on a really long time, so I wanted to get to you, and then we have to play some commercials, and then we'll get back to the callers on the line. Actually, Rick. Rick?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes.
You've been so patient, waited so long, I didn't want you to make you wait through a commercial.
Also from Scotts Valley.
Yes.
I just wanted to put my two cents in that you have to look at this as the glass is half full. All of this global warming nonsense has done a lot of good things. And as an example, in order to get to large-scale electric motor development and success, and we had to go through the hybrid phase, gasoline engine, electric motor. And ultimately, you're going to need the electric motor when you ultimately get a fuel cell from hydrogen to power that same electric motor. So it's not a bad thing. Also, you'll have to notice that that there's been an awful lot of activity in the area of putting up new nuclear power plants. I think there's 24 plants being licenses being submitted, and also existing plants are asking for extensions on their licenses for generating electricity. So that's a positive thing. Also, because of the need for new nuclear energy, there's been really excellent developments in that area, and for production of hydrogen and high process heat for that we'll need someday to make cellulosic ethanol. So,
Rick, excellent thing. The question is the good outweigh the bad in this issue?
Yes.
Have we benefited more, even if it is propaganda, even if it is bad science? Has the outcome really benefited us more than it's hurt us?
And that's I think we have to go 20 years down the road to see whether it's been a bad.
Hi, Rick. I just worry that's the kind of thinking and interactions I like. You know, because I had not thought about that one. I certainly we consider propaganda bad, but there are some good things that have come out of this whole press to push an agenda.
I have one other thing, just last thing to say. Yeah,
yes.
I think you have to trust people to do the right thing. And I don't think that the bad things that are being proposed by the environmental groups are going to happen. They can demand it all they want, but I really don't think carbon taxes are going to happen. When the true impact of carbon taxes starts to pump down the pipeline, people are just going to go berserk over it, so I don't think.
Maybe this could be like the old frog in the boiling water, and I don't know. But that certainly is a reasonable point. I don't really want to underappreciate people's intelligence because I think we're very intelligent, but we're also unorganized when it comes to governments and the structures we put in place. That's what I would say. Rick, thanks so much
for
the call. Bye-bye. 479-1080, Factory 475-2967. Dave has let me know that there's no way I can get by without doing a commercial first. I'll be right back with you. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube, on a Saturday special. I'll get right back to my callers on the lines after this commercial break.
Bill Morrow, President and CEO of Pacific Gas and Electric Company. As you know, we're in the winter storm season here in California, and all of us at PG&E work hard to prepare for and minimize storm-related outages. However, some things are just in Mother Nature's control, and the most important thing for you to do during this time is to keep safe. We ask that you report any downed power lines immediately by calling 1-800-PGE-5000. You should never try to touch or move the lines yourself. And if possible, turn off or unplug appliances to prevent the risk of equipment damage or fire when the power is restored. And if you do lose power, we'll be happy to give you a wake-up call, as well as give you more up-to-date information on your outage and time of restoration. I want you to know when an outage does occur, we are doing everything we can to get your power restored as quickly as possible. On behalf of the 20,000 men and women of PG&E, thank you for your patience, and let's stay safe.
Hi, parents. If you're concerned about those sodas and energy drinks that megadose your kids with high levels of sugar and caffeine, you should know about the new healthy energy drink. It's all natural, made with vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, so your kids can have the energy they crave and get off those junk drinks. This feel-good drink tastes great and lasts for hours with no crash at the end. In fact, it's good for them. For a free sample or more information, call me, Robin, at 831-818-4144. That's 831-818-4144, or send an email to robin@ksco.com.
Are you thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom? If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, Unit Number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
You must be a soul from the past, Dave. You like that old music.
I love it.
Huh? Oh, Dave Michaels, you're so good. So good to me. It's so easy to mellow out with that music. My name's Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube, on a Saturday special in for MZ. We're into the last 23 minutes of our second hour, and we have been discussing the propaganda aspects of the news media's reporting on the issue of global warming. And, you know, it's cold enough out there that you're all sitting around your living rooms all warm and toasty and calling in to talk to me, so I'm going to stay right on line here. Next, Gordon and Aptos. Gordon, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm not a scientist, but my son is. He's a geophysicist.
Yes.
And with a major in benthic, which is bottom of the ocean stuff.
Yes.
But he, this is really interesting. This is more political than it is scientific. After the tsunami, a tremendous amount of money poured into his field because they were going to put seismic sensors, wave sensors and stuff, and they received tremendous amount of money for to do that so they could forecast tsunamis better, earthquakes and stuff. Like there's one pending off a trench in Seattle and stuff. So they received a lot of money for that, and he had his PhD as a geophysicist and was working on the project, the drilling at the bottom of the ocean and such. And suddenly, with Gore's popularity in this global warming thing, the money is being co-opted by those people. So my son decided to get a PhD in planetology, which he's finishing up right now. And my son was telling me some interesting stuff. Besides, they co-opted the money for the tsunami, the international money that poured in. What they did is they took all the benthic sensors that they were emplacing, and they moved them up to surface temperature sensors, which are of course sensed by global satellites and stuff, to take surface temperature reading, because they consider that more important than the seismic data for tsunami warning stuff, because they're interested in proving that there's a global warming thing. The global warming people have the clout, and that's where the money is moving in science. So he moved to planetology, and he told me there was an interesting thing about the planetology thing.
What is planetology?
Planetology is the science of the Earth,
okay,
the planet Earth. Now, apparently some people that are planetologists are also, they're the people they consult about Venus or the moons of Jupiter or whatever. They're planetologists also. But he said that when he submits a proposal, unless it's somehow connected to global warming or unless he agrees with the global warming theater, he's considered fringe on the fringe and whatnot, and they just don't get funding.
Yeah, you can't get funding to do real science if it goes against the dogma of the time.
Exactly. He raised one issue. He goes all over. He goes to Washington, Japan, everywhere to give seminars. Anyway, he raised one issue. He said, hey, this sensing of carbon dioxide and stuff is taken off the roof of university. That's where they sense it. All the sensors, he said 95% of the sensors for this gas sampling on the planet are taken off the roof of universities.
That's amazing, isn't it? Hey, Gordon, thanks so much for the call. I got a board full here, and I want to try and give everyone a shot, okay?
Bye-bye.
479-1080. Fax me at 475-2967. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi. Is this Vernon?
Yes.
Yes. I wanted to talk just a little bit about some of the recent research on the Danish Solar Weather Research Institute on solar radiation and gamma rays.
Yes.
Apparently, the Danes have done a lot of work on the solar system, not only the Earth, but the solar system itself seems to be warming. Fairly scientifically proven. Mars is polar caps or ice caps, much of it.
Bob, are you on a cell phone? You're breaking up, right? I think I lost Bob.
Yes.
You still there? I just lost you. I don't know. My headset's been giving me problems here, but
okay.
Did you lose me at any point in time?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Anyway, the Danish Solar Weather Research Institute has shown a direct correlation between sunspot activity and the activity of gamma rays, which are gamma rays seed the clouds on Earth. During high sunspot activity, gamma rays can't come into the Earth, and therefore the clouds are not seeded. And in following the sunspot activity, they went back as far as Galileo, who did a lot of drawings of the sun with his telescope. And we noticed that the sunspot activity from Galileo's time, which was the beginning of the mini ice age, to our time, has increased dramatically. In fact, we're at the highest sunspot activity in the history of our solar system as far as humanity has recorded. That sunspot activity correlates to the seeding of clouds. When the sunspot activity diminishes, the gamma rays seed the clouds, the planet cools. I have a farm in Illinois, and in the middle of the woods in Illinois, there's a giant granite boulder. It's called a drop stone. It was dropped by a glacier that carved it out from Wisconsin and brought it down in a two-mile thick layer of ice 10,000 years ago, melted, and it dropped in the middle of this field. There's no granite in this part of the Midwest. What I'm trying to say is the planet warms and cools, a natural process. Humans are certainly contributing to CO2 in the atmosphere, which is acidifying the oceans. But the weather is a big question, whether or not we are actually affecting the weather.
Did you know that the total human contribution to CO2 in the atmosphere is, I think, 0.02%?
I don't know. And I am concerned about the increase of CO2 effect on the oceans, but I'm concerned about the weather, because the weather is a far more complex system. It obviously forms on a regular basis. During that mini ice age, or little ice age, from the 1300s to the 1600s, there was very little sunspot activity. And one of the reasons why the planet cooled down during that time period.
Got it, Bob. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Listen, I got to move through these callers here, and I'm not trying to back anyone up. But everyone called here. Thanks a lot for the information. Sure. Bye-bye. Okay. 479-1080. Mr. Allen.
Yeah. Well, you put out the phone number, so I guess everybody called.
Yes.
I can't help to listen to this stuff. People need to shut off the damn TV, and don't look, even though we have news, stop listening to the stinking news.
Well, actually, Dave, we'll make a comment real quick there. Is recognize that there is no such thing as news, because news is reporting and no one reports.
They create, like, for example, I was showing a friend of mine just yesterday, look, it's a slow news day. Watch what happens. The storm could be, oh, my God, the animals lining up two by two.
Heath Ledger died.
So?
I
know. So my grandfather. He's 104.
Yes, yes. And so did some other young.
I mean, last night was the example. Here's the TV news vans with spotlights, satellite dishes parked on top of Highway 17. Oh, my God, they're down by the river showing the water going out to the ocean. Oh, my God, it's doing just right. Look, the storm drains are backing up. So?
Look at that snail.
I have relatives.
Look at that snail. That snail moved a whole 16th of an inch in an hour.
I had a cousin call me from the East Coast, North Carolina. Hey, how you guys doing over there? On the news, shows California washed out the ocean. I go, what? And where I live, man, there's no wind blowing. I swear to God, Coralino yesterday was a steady drizzle all day, a little bit of rain, but there's no wind, nothing. You watch TV, man, it's the end of the world.
Absolutely, because when you video is a very powerful medium, and when you stitch it, Dave, as you know, you can take a storm from a newscast in 1960, put the right music to it, and right commentator, and people say, look, the planet's blowing away.
That's right. Another thing, this whole thing with the defaults, oh, my God, the economy's in the dumper. Oh, boom, defaults are going on. We're going to have a depression. Shut the hell up. California's got the biggest defaults, mostly because the last several years of what they call the real estate greed stampede. Everybody could get rich. Let's buy a house. Nobody down, interest-only loans, variable rates, blah, 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 blah. Then 2 years later, they jacked up the rate. The inevitable happened. So they're walking away. Their mortgage went from $2,500 to
$5,000. They got nothing on the line, so there's nothing to stay for. Yeah.
Get this. If you check this out, all the home mortgages that defaulting are less than 2% of the gross national product. Put you like nothing.
I know, but the news
we're
being...
We're all going to, it's the end of the world. We're all going to die. Everybody's going to be homeless.
Well, and we know better than that. Dave, thanks for the call.
By the way, I want to pump up my show tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
People are going to listen. We'll do a little bit more of this. But no stinking thinking. I want to talk about power attraction and positive thinking because, as you know, Vern, sometimes we feel like we're in the middle of psychological spiritual warfare on this planet.
Psychological warfare, for sure.
Particularly on this country, people need to know that we... The people, we have the power. No, not talking about guns, revolution.
No, Dave, you're right. I sing your praises because we do have the power, but we've forgotten it.
Thanks so much
for the call. Bye-bye. 479-1080. Going to go to Rick, then Richard, then Cereal. That's the order you came in, and then Scott, and we got to get a commercial in there. Rick, you're on the air.
Okay, I've got a couple solutions for the diehards that believe in global warming. We need to take action, like Al Gore says, and stop talking about it. And you know how they have youth centers in all of the major cities around the country?
Yes.
I suppose we have euthanasia centers. And anybody can, you know, volunteer.
Anyone can volunteer to leave the planet. Because
yes, volunteers to save the planet. They can go in there and they can be monitored and supervised and hold their breath. 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or permanently.
Hey, Dick, are you willing to sign up for Vernon's increase your carbon footprint day?
I'm already doing it.
Once a month, we'll all go down to Safeway and we'll buy a big block of dry ice and put it on our patio and let it evaporate. Because well, I'm not using mine.
Do you have a sign-up sheet somewhere?
Email me, Vernon's place. And actually go to VernonVernonVernon.com. Within the next week, I have it up. When I go home today, I want to put cereals.
How many people sign up?
Yeah, I want to put cereals cartoon up there. It's so good.
Okay,
so,
now here's the ultimate. You know how they have all these rock concerts for a one-day event around the world, like Al Gore was speaking at that last event they had for global warming?
Yes.
Well, we need to do the same thing and have a rock concerts around the world, and at the same hour, the same beginning of any hour around the, 24 hours, everybody at the rock concert, everybody around the world, stop what you're doing. Turn your cars off, stop working your equipment, turn everything off, except leave your freezer doors open, your refrigerator doors open, and your air conditioning's on, and everybody, to save the planet, just hold your breath for 1 hour.
It's hold your breath for an hour and open your refrigerator to cool the planet down.
Exactly.
Hey,
and I think we can save the planet then.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 479-1080. Fax me at 475-2967. What I'm going to do right after the commercial break here is I'm going to pick up two of my favorite people together. That'll be Richard and Cereal. Folks, you're listening to Saturday special. I keep wanting to say Noon Balloon. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, 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 a.k.a. V-Cube. I'll be right back.
It's that time of year again when you'll be running your old inefficient heater. This year, Day and Night wants to make sure you don't get left out in the cold. We want to help you make sure your home is comfortable, healthy, and efficient. We will even pay you to replace your old furnace. That's right, pay you to replace that old furnace. The new Day-Night furnaces have newer, more efficient heat exchangers that will keep your family safer and more comfortable this winter. Not to mention the newer furnaces are 20 to 30% more efficient than the older models. And with energy prices on the rise, that means lower bills for you. So if you need a new furnace or just think you might, call for a free estimate. Staley's Heating in Santa Cruz, 831-633-3399. In Monterey, Nichols Plumbing and Heating at 831-393-3470. And AA Heating in Salinas at 831-758-5696. If you didn't get those names, visit us on the web at www.comfortdayandnight.com. That's www.comfortdayandnight.com. Remember, Day and Night wants you cozy all winter long. Life's pretty good, business is great, and people are wonderful. There's so much more to life than the subprime loan mess. We live in a place many others can only visit. Randy Turnquist understands that. There are buyers who are buying and sellers who are selling. If you need help buying or selling a home or just have questions about your situation, give Randy a call at 831-566-2590 or toll free 888-496-9655 or visit KSCO.com and search for Realtor.
How do you like that?
I like that. I always like when you work the board. You give me such good stuff to listen to. Folks, coming into the waning minutes of the Saturday special, my name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed. Boy, it sounds like a windstorm in my head.
Are they fighting?
Vernon, you must have me. I am here.
You are here. Someone took over my board.
Don't leave me.
Vernon. Yes.
Is methane a more powerful greenhouse gas than CO2?
Yes.
Then part of your global footprint has got to include the growing and eating of beans.
That's right. Hey, that's good. That's good. This sounds like Joe.
Yeah. Well, you said that the temperature is actually going down, right?
Well, what I say is there's been no real increase in temperature, and I think it's actually dropped a little bit over the last 7-8 years. You don't hear that reported. You hear the Hansen report in 2005 where he says hottest year on record, but he gets his temperature hot by making up data points 1,200 kilometers from measuring stations.
Well, then those of us who know the truth, then we must eat more beans, grow more beans. The plants make their own nitrogen, so we won't need a whole lot of fertilizer. And if we just keep ranting and raving against Al Gore, Brother Gore, I think we can increase the temperature significantly and save the planet.
By the way, one of the things that you don't hear reported either that's fascinating, I have an article that I ran into about a year ago, is that how many Venetian blinds do you need on your windows to block out all the light? The point is that once you get to a certain level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, there's no more to absorb. It doesn't matter if it goes up any higher. And all these calculations are predicated on the fact that the temperature will change as the CO2 level goes up. Richard?
Hey, Vernon.
Yes, can I bring up cereal with you?
Where's that man at?
He's right here. Cereal.
Hey, Cereal. My fine brother.
We've got a quorum here. Two of my favorite people.
The three of us.
All right.
Where's the straws?
Hey, Cereal, when we do your door, Cereal and I know each other. We need to clean the mirrors on your fax machine. Get rid of those lines.
I got a new fax machine for him.
Do you?
It's never been used.
There's lines in it?
Still in the box.
Yes. Did you hear that? Richard's going to replace your fax machine because your artwork is too priceless to send it out with lines.
That's caller number one for you.
Cereal knows I got a fax machine for him.
He's never used it.
I've never used it. Can you believe that, Vernon?
Richard, I can believe that because I know you.
Hey, how about Dave Allen? Does Dave Allen sound complete? I won't say normal because he's never been normal, but he sounds completely back to Nighthawk quality, don't you think?
Yeah, he was sounding good today.
That's a great line. Yeah, my grandfather died too. He's 104.
Yeah, but he won't sound good until he says, tomorrow I'm having a show and we got open lines and I'm going to give out the number. All this recording stuff that he's doing, hey.
And the area code, Dave.
Anyway, what do you guys have for me?
Here, can I go first?
Go.
I got a little machine gun thing. I'll just go real fast. I got proof of global warming. On Thursday, it snowed in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and Friday, it was all gone.
It melted because it was so hot.
And if this gets much worse, we're going to have to call you burning.
Burning.
And if Cereal is cut to 1 hour, that will be the same as taking 32,000 cars off the road. Okay, go ahead. Caller one.
Caller two, Richard.
I just want to know, where's the straws?
Where's the straws?
I mean, I don't care if we got global warming or global cooling. The ice glaciers up there are still melting, and ain't nobody bringing me no fresh water. Where the hell's my fresh water? I'm tired of the people down there in near Florida complaining they ain't got no water at all. And we've got the Reclamation Act from 1930. We're running lots of oil down here through these pipeline straws. Why don't we run the water right next to them?
Well, drink some oil.
What a great idea. Hey, you two, I got to go and get
Adios.
Scott in. Thank you so much for the calls.
Love you guys.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. 479-1080. Fax 475-2967. Scott, that was a little bit of levity.
Yeah, but it's so important. You know, we could lay the pipes right alongside the other pipes, and we could fill... Los Angeles with water, with all the water we have going through our mountains here, just like peeing it into the ocean, mixing it with the salt, and then we're going to, what, desalinate it after that?
Hey, by the way, you know, since we're a country that invades people, maybe we should invade our Indian lands in California, take over the casinos, and co-opt all that gambling money.
I think we should invade the Santa Cruz Mountains and claim this water.
What do you got for me, Scott?
You know, it is such a farce, you know. It is such a scam. You know, the president of Czechoslovakia, the former president, said that global warming is the biggest threat to freedom since communism. Vernon, you know,
I'll buy that.
This caller said he trusts people to do the right thing. Well, I trust people to rip me off of my money under any excuse that they can.
Especially when they operate in your best interest. You know, my father said something to me one time that kind of it made sense. He says, give me a man with a little bit of larceny in his soul any day, as opposed to a zealot, because a zealot will take you down the wrong road.
Lao Tzu said, save us from the saints. You know,
that's
the people,
right,
who are too good. you know, it reminds me of the people who fall for this, you know. Okay, there has been some good things. You know, there is an electric car coming out, you know, et cetera. But it reminds me of the once upon a time when there was an eclipse. Some kind of shaman would say that the wolf in the sky is swallowing the moon goddess. Give me silver, and I'll make sure that he spits her back out again.
Well, you know, what's interesting is on the one call there, I certainly agree. I think, was that, no, it wasn't Gordon. I can't remember which one it was. Is that the development of better engines, that's good. The development of electrical cars, I don't know that's particularly good, because there's a whole bunch of pollution there.
Oh, yeah, that might be true. That might be true. GMC is coming out with an entirely electric car that it has an engine that just generates electricity. You know, it's never powered by the engine.
And by the way, Scott, not to trash business, but if the automobiles, manufacturers and businesses behind it, it's because they found there's some money to be made here, and that's what their job is.
No doubt.
Scott, our hour's up. Thanks.
One more thing.
Quick.
You know, I've got my solution to reduce my carbon footprint. I'm going to hook up a harness and let Al Gore pull my car.
Good. Thanks for the call.
All
folks,
right.
That's it. I'm out of here. Thanks for letting me be your host today. And MZ should probably be back next week. This is Vernon V-Cube signing out on the Noon Balloon.
Saturday special.
I know I was going to pull that up. I knew I'd do it.
JSCO, Santa Cruz.
The State Election Commission reports steady to heavy turnout so far for South Carolina's Democratic primary.
I wanted to cast my vote. You know, this is a historic moment for all the Democrats, so I wanted to make sure that I'd be a part of it.
And those voters have until 7 p.m. Eastern to cast ballots. 45 delegates are for the taking. Republicans are busy campaigning in Florida, where that state primary will be held this coming Tuesday. Rudy Giuliani looking for his first primary victory and trailing in the Florida polls.
I like feeling like I'm an underdog. I think underdogs get a lot of sympathy, they get a lot of support, they get a lot of interest.
Mitt Romney's been blasting John McCain, saying someone from Washington can't change Washington. McCain says it's vital someone has served in war and in peacetime. The urgency is clear in his message. President Bush's weekly radio address dealing with the economic stimulus package agreed to in principle this week, calling on Congress to pass it as soon as possible.
This package will deliver direct tax relief to hardworking Americans. It will also include incentives for businesses, including small businesses, to make new investments this year.
As far as the Democratic response, positive but cautious.
The White House's cooperation with Congress in recent days is long, long overdue, and it's encouraging, but let's hope it's habit-forming. Frankly, there's a lot more that has to be done to put our economy back on track for the longer term, and we need real cooperation.
North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan delivering that Democratic response. Those frozen remains discovered last night in Chicago are not that of Stacy Peterson or Lisa Stebbik. According to police, Peterson hasn't been seen since last October, Stebbik since April of last year. A deadly car crash in Florida this morning leaves five people dead. All were young men in the same car between ages 18 and 20. Their BMW was speeding on an airplane runway, flew off an embankment, hitting a tree. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox News Channel.
Researchers in Minnesota have managed to grow a new heart in a lamb. Some scientists calling this a landmark achievement and a stunning advance for science. We talked to Dr. Lee Vanocur, emergency room doctor at Sinai Hospital in Baltimore. They were able to create a real live beating heart in a lab rat.
What this technique actually did is it took a dead cadaver heart from a fetal rat and they stripped the cells off. They decellularized it. And then they reseeded it with early cells, almost stem cell-like cells of heart muscle that turned into heart muscle and to blood vessels.
So they literally took cells from an old heart and grafted it to the point where they could grow another new heart. That's astounding.
Essentially, yes.
Today, the rat, when does it happen for a human being, doctor?
Years and years down the road.
Are we talking decades or more?
It could be at least maybe a decade before we did that.
Be listening for more encore presentations from Fox News Talk.
Not a nice weekend coming for Southern California. The forecast calls for up to 8 inches of rain to fall outside Los Angeles, as much as 3 feet of snow at some ski resorts. A flash flood watch is out for Orange County through tomorrow morning. In Wrightwood, this man is seeing a lot of snow falling.
There's a real hard, kind of a wet layer underneath the old snow before this storm. And all the new stuff on top is just one big sheet. And so when it slides on that old surface. And so there's just no telling how wide or how big it could get when it lets go.
Three people died in avalanches over the past week in the San Gabriel Mountains. For the rest of the country, we have a bit of a warm-up, at least in parts of the Midwest.
51 today in Rapid City, 54 in Wichita. Last week, you were only into the 20s. And tomorrow, Minneapolis, today 25, tomorrow 38, and 38 in Chicago. So those temps going up by about 30 or 35 degrees from where you were last week. That is a very nice improvement, kind of a little lapse from the winter.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth.